So before I get into it, the scripture reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God, I just want to come to you this morning and pray that Holy Spirit, you would speak through me, that your wisdom would be guiding me, and that your wisdom would be what comes from my mouth. Your words, God, but not mine. I pray for everyone here that their minds and hearts may be open to hear what you have to say, God, and that they would leave here with a better understanding of your holy word. I bless your word, and I thank you for it. In your name I pray. Amen. So before I start, I'm wearing a bit of a different attire from when I was here last because I was drumming, and trying to drum in fancy clothes is just asking to rip them open, so I don't tend to do that often. Just going to set myself up here. Technology. Sometimes love it, sometimes it's a pain. I also apologize, I'm not as funny as Gustavo, although he would say otherwise, but he's kind of crazy sometimes. So in the weeks leading up to today, I've been going through the book of Ephesians on my own time, and I understand you guys have been doing that as well, so perfect that lined up. I finished it last week. I'm now starting to work up at a summer camp up in Sutton, at about an hour north of here, if you don't know. It's kind of secluded as opposed to living in North Oshawa. It's a very different environment, but I've been blessed to be in an environment filled with people who are ready to hear from God, do God's will, and just, in the end, hopefully we'll see souls saved for Jesus at the end of the summer through the kids that come. I saw it last summer. I was their Bible coordinator last summer, and it was incredibly powerful. And this summer, I'm not the Bible coordinator, but I am part of the same team, and it's just incredible what God does, even through children, to see that he's working through them. It's really encouraging. But anyway, on to what I've been doing. So I was studying Ephesians in my own time. I had so many sessions last week about what it means to live with each other. And finally, I decided, you know what? I need to go through Ephesians on my own, because all these sessions, I'm not going to remember anything. I might as well remember the Word of God. So there's a few things that I just wanted to share that have really stuck with me after finishing Paul's letter, and I'll just go through them quickly. The first one is that God has really been encouraging me to continue to rely on him, as Paul says, for spiritual strength. A lot of the time in my life, which is not a very long life, I'm only 20, but in that time I've gone through a lot of struggles in my life, and for a lot of it I relied mostly on myself, on the world, on my friends, on my family. As amazing as my family is, sometimes they can't give you everything, but that's okay. And finally, I got later in my life, and I was like, maybe it's time to start relying on God. And going through Ephesians was really a kind of boost. God saying, yeah, you should have relied on me, and it's okay because you can rely on me now, which has been amazing. The second thing is that God has been reminding me through Paul's closing statements in each chapter that I should be giving him the glory in everything I do. It may seem small, but it shows that my life is still dedicated to Christ in all things. If you've gone through most of the epistles or all of the ones Paul has wrote, at the end of a lot of what he says, he'll say, to God be the glory, or through Jesus, God be the glory, all these different phrases. And it really made me think back, how many times in my life have I gone on something and been like, thank you to my church, but I don't mention God in the church part, which is odd because Christ is part of, the head of our church, seemed to leave that part out. So it's really been encouraging that Paul leaves that in, and I was like, I should start doing that too. And finally, he's convicted me of not always spending enough time in the Word, and through my enjoyment of Ephesians, I've been encouraged to dive more into the other epistles. I have a small group up at camp, and we kind of got the worst option, as worse as you can get in the Bible. Worst being that it's 1 and 2 Corinthians, which is 29 chapters combined, and every other group chose Galatians or Colossians, which has about 6. So we kind of got the long haul, but it's okay because we love the Word, we love God, and not all of us like reading, but I do, so it's okay. So those are just small things that I got out of the letter to the church in Ephesus, but specifically today, it was kind of really great that Gustavo asked me to talk on this because there's been a song I've been listening to recently that takes a section of this passage, which the verse Ephesians 3:20, which in many translations says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more, abundantly more, who is more than able to do things." It's really been on my heart. And then Gustavo said, "You're going to be talking about Ephesians 3:14-21. And I was like, "Oh, wow, that's good timing," because I've been really looking into that verse. And it's been very reflecting. It's been very powerful. And I'm very grateful that Gustavo gave me something that I was familiar with, because sometimes my brain likes to go off on tangents. So there's a lot in this section of Scripture that Paul is talking to this church, and I'm sure you guys have talked about how in Ephesus at the time, there were so many things that were distracting the church. There were so many things that they were not able to grasp because they were from a different section of the world. Their culture was different. Their practices were different. And Paul was like, "Listen, don't remember this. Remember Jesus. Jesus will help you. The Holy Spirit will help you." And this section specifically was something that Paul was saying, you are relying on your own wisdom and your own understanding, but because you've been saved, you have a new wisdom, new understanding. And so this prayer that he shared here is something very special to that group, especially in that time. Specifically, there's a section in Ephesians 3:16-19, which is about the body of the prayer. He prays for a multitude of different things for the church of Ephesus and all of the followers of Christ, not just the people in Ephesus, but people here in Whitby today, people back in Sutton where I was, or even all across the world can reflect on what Paul said, because there was so much power and so much knowledge, even to this day, that stands true. In a world where things are changing so fast, where our understanding is changing so fast, Paul, I'm sure he knew that one day we'd get to the point where we could understand things in the snap of our fingers, but he was saying, don't worry about that, because there's other things you won't understand, but there's someone who will help you understand that, and that is the Holy Spirit through God. And so there's a few points that I have from this prayer that really talk about what Paul is trying to hit home. So first, it's important to understand what the Spirit is. Paul mentions so many times that through the Spirit, and the Spirit helps us understand things. And he just keeps on saying, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. But to a lot of people, the Spirit, you could interpret it as whatever you want. So what actually is he talking about? Now there are, I'm sure everyone here understands that the Holy Spirit is what he was talking about, but there's something that goes back to the Gospels when it talks about the Holy Spirit, when it reveals wisdom, because that was the original intention of the Holy Spirit when Jesus talked about him. So the Holy Spirit, if you know this, was given to the Christians when Jesus left. Jesus spoke first about it a few times, but there was a specific part. You don't have to pull this up. I have it in John 16:7-15 that talks about the Holy Spirit, and what Jesus was mentioning as the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So when Paul is talking about this Spirit that will help give us wisdom, he's reiterating what Jesus said in John and mentioning again this helper that will help us understand the wisdom of God. There's a section in this that says that the Holy Spirit is something unique, something to Christians that we haven't had before. Now, the Spirit of God was in the Old Testament. It would come upon the world all the time. People had many encounters with angels and spirits of God. But when the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost to the Christians, it gave them the Spirit of truth, of wisdom and understanding. And what Paul is talking about in his prayer for spiritual strength, when he opens it up, he says in Ephesians 3:18, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What he's talking about here is that no one understood this mystery before. No one knew what God's big plan was, and no one knew anything about Jesus. They knew, oh, we have a Messiah coming. He's going to come from a virgin, and there's going to be this great empire, all these different things. They only had these prophets telling them these things, and 400 years of, well, what's next? And Paul says, you have the next step. Jesus is gone, but you have what he left. And what he left is understanding. And before you can get into the section where Paul is talking about spiritual strength, you need to understand what is giving you spiritual strength, and that's Jesus' helper, part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who will guide you in your wisdom and bring you this understanding that no one's had before, the understanding that Jesus is God, but he is also man, and he is our Savior, our Redeemer, and he's still alive today. And on from that, there's another thing where he prays for strength so that Christ could be in us. There's other sections of Scripture where Paul will say that we are weak in our faith to these different churches, especially to the church in Corinth. He says you're infants in your faith. Now, this could still be applied to Ephesus. They were infants in their faith. All of the churches Paul wrote to were infants in their faith because Jesus had only been gone for like 20, 30 years when he's reading this. Most of these people really didn't fully understand everything yet. They didn't know the prophets. They didn't know the truth of the Old Testament. They didn't know all this because they weren't Jewish. They weren't from this time. So he's praying that the Holy Spirit would give us strength so Christ could be in us, so that we would no longer be infants in our faith, but we would be mature in the truth that God is here amongst us, in us, strengthening us, encouraging us, walking alongside us. This is something that I feel my generation has lacked very, very hard in, this truth that we need to have strength so that Christ can be in us. If we're weak in our understanding in the Spirit, Christ is only able to come so far in. I heard this amazing quote that God doesn't move a parked car. He's not going to walk up to the car and shove it and then dislocate his shoulder because the car's not moving. He's not going to try and push it. But when you are in that neutral, you can move it forward and start going along the road that God has for you. If you don't have that strength of the Holy Spirit, you can't get further. If you rely on your own wisdom, you can't get any further in life. Because eventually you'll start to think, well, I'm comfortable enough. I don't think I need to do anything else. I think God's fine with me where I am. And I think that I don't need to rely on this part of Scripture because I know this part of Scripture. I think that I can have Jesus for this things. I can replicate what he did in this. But when it comes to that person I don't like, maybe I won't be as Christ-like because they're annoying. Maybe I won't be as Christ-like because the world is not as Christ-like. But he prayed for the strength that we would be able to walk forward boldly so that Christ could be in us boldly. Because Jesus didn't walk forward and then take two steps back because someone yelled at him. When he got yelled at, he stood there. Well, I don't know. I wasn't there, but I can assume that he stood there and didn't scream back at them because we're never told he screamed back. The only time he raised his voice was when he walked into the temple. So Jesus can't be in someone who is going to be filled with all these worldly passions of anger and hatred and just ready to take on any fight that comes their way, but not a good type of fight, not the fight for faith, the fight for the world, the fight for what they think is right. Jesus can't be in you if you're only willing to listen to what the world says and go off that, because the Spirit is not what you're relying on. He's not talking about physical strength. He's talking about mental and spiritual strength that is so powerful that at the mention of our faith, of the name of Jesus, the enemy quakes. That's a strength that is far beyond physical, far beyond anything this world can provide. Paul is saying that without the Holy Spirit, we don't have access to Jesus. We can't have access to Jesus because he's not standing right next to me. As much as I think that would be really encouraging, he's not standing right here. But he is here because the Holy Spirit is here. And without the Holy Spirit, where is that strength? Where is Christ? He can't be there. Because you haven't allowed yourselves to have Christ in you, because you have hardened your hearts. A lot of passages say that your hearts are hardened from the world, or from Christ, sorry. Paul's continuing to say that without the Holy Spirit, we can't understand Jesus. Everyone in the Western world today knows the name of Jesus. Whether or not they use it in the correct way is different, but they know who Jesus is. They know that he was the Christian figurehead. He was the guy that everyone wants to be like. They just can't quite figure out if he was the Son of God. Well, I can tell you he's the Son of God because the Bible says he's the Son of God. But that's my understanding. He's saying that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, how can you understand Jesus as the Son of God? Because if someone told me that, especially as a brother, if someone said to me, your sister is the daughter of God, I'd say, you're crazy. Because we were born at the same time, but she's obviously not the daughter of God. If someone said to my sister, your brother is the Son of God, she'd probably laugh and say, you're not telling the truth. Because if my brother is the Son of God, we're in for a world of trouble. But the Holy Spirit allows us to understand that Jesus is the Son of God, because to a mere person today who has the internet, has access to all the knowledge they want, whether it's true or false, they can say it's impossible for God to be a person. How can there be three gods but only one God at the same time? The Holy Spirit can show you how. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, how can you understand Jesus? So Paul prays to them, please, don't rely on your own wisdom for this, because it's going to get confusing. It's going to get really confusing when the world keeps going and you keep saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. You're going to feel that pull, that pull. Maybe Jesus, maybe he wasn't fully, maybe he was kind of, maybe he was just a dude. That's not from God. That's not the strength and wisdom that the Holy Spirit is providing. That's the attack and the forefront of the reason we're losing so many people today is because the enemy is waiting for people to make that first question and then start thinking, maybe this is the right answer. Paul's praying. I can imagine pleading, don't rely on what you can see and think and hear and whatever, because Jesus is real. He's the Son of God. And the only way you can know that now without him standing right next to you and saying, look, there's a hole in my hand, because if I saw that, I think I'd be convinced he's the Son of God. If he's not here, the Holy Spirit can be here and give you a personal encounter with him. And that's how you understand who Jesus is. For me, when I first really felt my biggest call to Jesus, I was in a baseball field in the middle of January. It was freezing cold. Some people could probably assume I was just so cold that I was imagining things, but I wasn't. When I was on my knees, I was saying, God, please, what's going on? I need someone. That Holy Spirit gave me an understanding and said, Jesus is here right now. Get up, go home. You've got work to do. Without that understanding, without the Holy Spirit, without relying on the Holy Spirit, I probably would have gone home with frostbite thinking, man, I just wasted 40 minutes in a baseball field in the middle of January. The Holy Spirit is also in this section our direct communication with Jesus. He's like a phone, except doesn't distract you and doesn't give you screen time things. I don't know if anyone checks their screen time, but I got my notification this morning and it said, you have been on your phone 20% more than you were last week. And I was like, oh, don't say that and don't show my boss that, because that's not a good thing. But the Holy Spirit is like our phone in that at any moment we could pick it up and be like, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need someone right now. There's no one else here, but I need you, Jesus. I need your peace, Jesus. I need your understanding, Jesus. I need your love, Jesus. I need your guidance, Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit, you're picking up a dead cell phone. I was going to say something else, but I'm not that old, so I couldn't remember any other phones. But without that connection, there is no more communication, and without communication, relationships fall apart, because the key thing about us that separates us from the world is we have a relationship with God, not just a religion for God. We have a relationship with Jesus. And every single person in the world will tell you the key to a good relationship is communication. Well, if you're not communicating with Jesus, how can you expect it to be a good relationship? Gustavo once said to me, actually, I think it was 2 weeks ago or something, he said that people can tell when I'm not praying. They can tell that I'm different because I haven't been praying today. People can tell in relationships when you're different because you haven't been communicating. So when I'm not communicating with God, how can I expect to have this spiritual strength in God? I'm not relying on his relationship with me. I'm relying on the fact that maybe he'll have a relationship with me. I'm relying on the fact that, oh, he says I'm saved, I'm good for the rest of my life. That's not true, though, because the relationship will fall apart. So Paul is saying you need that direct communication so that you can have relationship with Jesus, so that your spirit can be strengthened, so that your power within you can show the world that they can have this relationship too. And the last part of that body, Paul prays for spiritual strength, as I've been saying, not because he claims the church of Ephesus is weak, but because he wants them to experience God entirely and fully. I pray for my church for spiritual strength. I know my church is not weak. I know the people in my church are not weak. But I pray for that because without that spiritual strength, God can't be there fully because there's nothing strengthened. You can't expect to hold water in a jug if there's a hole in the bottom of it. He's just going to be like, oh, you've got something that's distracting you. Oh, I'm draining, I'm draining, I'm draining, I'm gone. I'm not gone. You just let me get out. You pushed me out. You were that hole. I pray for spiritual strength in my church, not because they're not good Christians or not because they don't believe, but so that they continue to be good Christians, they continue to believe, they continue to rely on God and not themselves. Because if you can't rely on God for your strength, the world is going to let you down very quickly. The world let me down very quickly. Let my friends down, my family down, everyone I know. If you rely on the world, it's going to let you down very fast. Because this is a dark place, but we have a bright God. Revelation says that he will be the light of the world, literally, literally the light of the world. I think that's kind of crazy to think about, but I won't get into that. But he is the light of the world. And he can give you light in your life that will continue to make you walk boldly forward and to not deny God, but to deny the world, to not deny that Jesus loves you or other people, but to say to them, boldly, no matter who they are, no matter what they believe, no matter what they practice, no matter where they are in life, to say, Jesus loves you. Let's pray for you. I heard someone say to me that the most impactful thing a Christian did to them was walk up to them and say, "Hey, can I pray for you?" They'd grown up in church their whole life and no one had ever done that. And this one random person walked up to them and said, "Can I pray for you?" And they gave their life to Jesus. The most impactful thing that people can do is be strengthened to walk forward without weakness and to experience God. We had this amazing moment last week up at the camp I was working at. And this is not in any way to boast about me. This was entirely God. But we were around a campfire. People were just singing and singing to God. And I really felt God ushering me to read Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost, the day the Holy Spirit came down. And I walked forward and I said, "God is trying to make me read this, and I'm not going to deny what God's putting on my heart." And as I read it, people were so overcome by the strength and fullness of God in that place because of how spiritually strong it was. Because we were relying on the fact that the Holy Spirit was speaking, that God was speaking through His Word. The strength in that, it wasn't even a room, we were outside. It was cold too, but people said they were so overcome that they didn't care. One of my friends was standing there and he said, I was listening to the Word and I fell over. I fell over because God was there. And the fullness of God was so powerful that there wasn't room for weakness in me. There was only room for repentance, only room for love. And it was so powerful that the person who was strumming the guitar came up to me afterwards and he said, "I had to stop singing because I started crying." And I was like, "That's not me, that's God." I was so overcome that when I was speaking to someone, I had to turn around and I just fell into the mud on my knees, which seems dramatic, but I couldn't stand anymore. And I just started shouting out to God, praising Him. It was so powerful because we didn't rely on what was going on around us. The distractions of what would come through the summer, because working with kids is painful. It's exhausting. Sometimes you get bit, you get spit on. No one wants that. But in that moment, we forgot about everything that was going on. We forgot about that some of us were really far from home. One of our staff members is from Newfoundland. She had just got there. She'd never been there before. I can't imagine what it'd be like to come from Newfoundland to Ontario. Well, I can. It's warmer. But I can imagine that in that moment, she was like, "This is a family that I want to be a part of." In that moment of spiritual strength, there was no room for weakness because God was fully there. And God is not weak. God can't be weak. And that's what Paul is saying here. If you embrace the Holy Spirit fully, embrace His presence, and let your spirit be strengthened, there's no room for weakness. That doesn't mean we won't mess up, we won't fall down, we won't say the wrong thing or lie or sin. But it does mean that everything we do, God is with us. And when we're in a spiritual environment, you know, the Bible says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I will be. There were more than two, and Jesus was there because the Holy Spirit was there, and our spiritual strength was so strong that there was nothing but God entirely and fully. And Paul said to Ephesus, "Let that be you." He didn't say, like, "Let that campfire environment be you," because that was 2,000 years in the future. But he said, "Let this be you. Let this strength be you. Let this obedience, reliance, and surrender be you." Because surrenderance and obedience and all these things are worship to God that allows Him to be with us. And in the last section of Ephesians 3, verse 20 to 21, Paul makes a powerful statement that I believe a lot of people have forgotten today. My translation says, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And amen means it is so. It is so that God can do far more abundantly than we ask, think, or imagine. He can provide for us much more than we can imagine. In that moment I shared at that campfire, he provided far more than I had ever seen at camp. I've worked at camp for 3 years now. And in that moment, God blew my mind again. God showed me more than I could ask for. God provided for someone more than they could ask for. They gave their life again to Jesus at that moment because God was really speaking to them and saying, listen to these words. Listen to this spiritual strength that these first Christians have. This can be you too. Rely on me and my strength so that your strength can be made whole. Paul gives glory to God, but also reminds us that God is able to do far more than we can imagine or ask of him. He is working within us and is capable of things beyond our understanding, our comprehension. I went through a very long period of my life where I struggled so heavily with depression that I had to leave school for a big portion of my grade 11 year because I couldn't deal with it anymore. I couldn't rely on myself. I was relying on myself so heavily that my whole body just gave way and was like, you can't do this. I left God out of the equation. And then one day, it had been a long journey of getting to that point, a lot of hospital trips, a lot of meetings with people, a lot of programs. I finally said, God, do something. I'm ready. I'm open. I'm willing. This was over a year later. And when I did it again in that baseball field, something changed in that moment. God did something far beyond what I could have asked for. He gave me peace. Peace that I had never felt before. Peace of silence. I'm a very mind-focused person. I'm always talking. Whether it's quietly in my own head or it's out loud or I'm talking to myself, I'm always making noise. I can't sit in silence. And a lot of the times, that's a curse. To not sit in silence is awful because it means that you can't think. You can't think when there's so much going on because your brain is like, oh, what's that noise? What's that noise? Say this, say that. And in that moment, God silenced it, and there was silence. Peaceful silence. God did something I didn't know I could have asked for. I never thought to ask for God to quiet my mind. I didn't think that that was possible. But God did far more abundantly than I could have asked for. And what Paul's saying here to Ephesus applies to us today, that you can ask God and he can do far more abundantly than you can ask for. He can provide for you far more abundantly. He can heal you far more abundantly. He can bring peace to you far more abundantly. He can comfort you far more abundantly. And that doesn't always mean that when you ask for it, it'll happen right away. It doesn't always mean that when you're sick, it'll get better right away. But God is there. He is moving, he is healing, he is working. And maybe that's part of the story that God is writing with you. A story that you can testify of the goodness of God and show that he did something far more abundantly than you asked for originally. He ends his letter, this section of the letter, with another reminder, to God be the glory. He mentions this a lot in all of his other letters and says, don't give Paul the glory, don't give Peter the glory. And when he's talking to Corinth, I have this in my mind because I just read Corinthians the other day. Apollos, he says, don't give him the glory. He is the leader of your church either. In Ephesus, he says, don't give glory to anyone but God. I can't remember who the leader of the church in Ephesus was. I don't even know if it says it, but I know for a fact that Paul was speaking to the leaders of that church saying, you spoke what God was saying. You said what God was speaking to you. So it wasn't you that said it. It may have come from your voice, but it came from God. All the blessings, all the healings, all the peace come from God. And when he ends this section of spiritual strength, he's saying, when you are in those moments of fullness of God entirely, of peace of God entirely, of joy with God entirely, It's nothing the world has given you, but it's everything that God is doing for you. It's the Holy Spirit, it's Jesus, it's God, all three there with you, sitting next to you, laughing with you, crying with you, holding you, loving you. Paul's saying that whatever happens in life when you have spiritual strength, give it to God, because the glory is His and His alone. Because we can't do this on our own, and with God we can do it. And with God we got to give that glory back, because He's not a God that's like, hey, give me all this. He's a God that says, just remember that I did this. It wasn't you. And that's so powerful for me today, because we have a lot of people going around saying, look at me, I'm the best preacher in the world, I'm rich, I'm famous, and it's all me. My church is big because of me. My church is big because of the worship. My church is big because of the fancy car I drive, so everyone sees me drive it to church and they're like, hey, I want to go get that car too. We got a lot of people who are going around saying the church is good because we make it good, because we have such good community. I'm sure the churches are great because of community, but the churches are great because God made that community. The churches are growing because God blessed them abundantly. The churches are growing because the Holy Spirit gave them the strength to keep going. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. And he says, to God be the glory, and in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. I had a professor who always would say to me, a lot of people for a long time liked to leave out Jesus in their worship songs. There was a thing where you couldn't say Jesus too often, or they wouldn't play it on the radio, so they wouldn't put Jesus' name in it. Now they don't care. Now they put Jesus in the name of the song, and then they'll say Jesus, 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 Jesus over and over again. I think they're just trying to say, look what we can say now. But he said that a lot of the times we leave out the name of Jesus in things. We leave out what God has instructed us to do. Through Jesus, in the name of Jesus, because of Jesus. So when Paul is saying to God be the glory, he's not leaving out what Jesus did. He's saying to God be the glory, and in Christ Jesus, in Messiah Jesus, in Savior Jesus. He's wanting to remind us that every single thing we do, give God the glory through Jesus. Worship Jesus, you worship God. You know, Jesus says, without me, you can't get to the Father. Through me. It's a line. It's not a go around. It's a straight line forward. Jesus, God. Now it's Jesus, well, Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, which is what Paul's talking about. You can't leave any of this out. Through these three, spiritual strength comes. When you go to the Holy Spirit, Jesus comes down, God comes down. It's like a big Trinity party, because they give you that strength to keep going. He says, to God the glory, because no one else deserves it. God and God alone. We, not just in this church, in every church in the world, should reflect on this sentiment at all times. Because so often we give the glory to the world, to the doctors, to the psychiatrists, to the therapists, to our friends, to our family, and they do great things through God. God guides their wisdom. God guides their hand. Even if they're not part of a body of Christ, God is still guiding them to help His people. God is still guiding friends and family to help people. I heard someone say this not that long ago, that it's not the faith of the person who does it, it's the grace of the God who performs it. It's the grace of the God who speaks it. Because the word of God, no matter whose mouth it comes from, is the living, true word of God. And someone could have all the worst intentions saying it, but one person, they could hear it and think, maybe there's more. Maybe there's more of this. Maybe there's something else. And so Paul's saying, these people can help you, but give the glory back to God. In my closing thing, I just want to say that Ephesians 3's closing prayer is a prayer to be repeated in our day and in every day. We should rely on the Holy Spirit and his wisdom to understand Jesus and his character, not through our understanding, but God's, through the Holy Spirit's understanding, because our wisdom is nothing, but God's is everything. And as Paul said, to God be the glory for this truth. Paul wrote it, but God spoke it. He says in everything that he is a messenger for Jesus and God. And so I thank God for his word. I thank God for Paul, but I thank him for this truth because God gave that truth to him. So to God be the glory for this prayer, for this truth, for the spiritual strength that he can give us, for the spiritual strength he will continue to give us. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would give you spiritual strength in your weeks to come, in your months to come, days, whatever it is, years to come, that the Holy Spirit would be who you rely on for your wisdom and strength. Because he will give you wisdom and strength. And he will provide for you. And he will love you. And he will bless you and do far more than you could ask for. So I'd just like to pray the prayer for spiritual strength one last time. I'm going to read that section of scripture as a prayer, and then I hand it over. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant to you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.